Dickens.
Hello and welcome to Checkbooks. Earlier this year, a leading author and very well-known and much-admired personality in the Czech Republic died, Alexandra Berková. She was a journalist, writer for TV, novelist and short story writer, a campaigner for social justice in many areas, as well as being a beloved teacher of many. Her novels were highly experimental in nature, mixing, for example, allegory, fairy tale and satire. In order to discuss the work of Alexandra, or Sasha, Berková, I visited Pavla Jonsonová, a cultural theorist who teaches at the Anglo-American University in Prague. Hello, Pavla.
Hello, Bernie.
Alexandra Berková was a sensation when she first emerged on the literary scene in 1986. Her first book, The Little Book with the Red Cover, I think it was sold out 60,000 copies within days.
Exactly. I remember that so well because a friend of ours gave about 20 of her friends a Christmas gift, which was the first book by Sasha Berková, and it was a true sensation.
This first book actually already showed the extent to which she was experimenting with form, because it wasn't a straight narrative. It was a number, I think, 19 short stories which were interwoven and followed the destinies of a number of female characters at the crucial points in their lives, you know, adolescence, marriage, childbirth, death, in fact. But it was already undermining our expectations of what a traditional narrative needed to offer.
Yes, it introduced a new character in Czech literature, which was an if. And so there was this if, or we could say there were those number of ifs, who if these ifs happened, you know, then life would have been so perfect. But these ifs are kind of elusive, are somewhere out there flying, but you cannot quite catch them. Yeah.
This is an example of the very playful aspect of Alexandra Berková, who's often considered to be a very serious, rather dark interpreter of the possibilities of happiness between men and women in their personal relationships, for example. But her work is playful in this almost Joycean way.
Yes, exactly. She was a total experimenter. And I more and more think of her in the legacy of Kafka, especially, which is this kind of modernist way, this existentialist way of speaking about what happened to us. But she, of course, added this kind of funny, feminist twist, the gender viewpoint.
And she continued over the years to be one of the leading Czech literary personalities, writers. She also wrote for television. I think this was an important part of her profile.
Exactly, yes. Sasha Berková wrote for television, and that's how she got in touch with basically everyone in the country, whereas before that, of course, this was a literary elite sensation. And then she became very famous for her debates within the framework of the newly arising women's movement in Czechoslovakia and then the Czech Republic.
And she was one of the very few very public, high-profile women who were open to identifying themselves with a struggle for equal rights.
Yes, I think that for a long period she's represented the sort of most famous image of feminism in the country.
So in many respects she was always an author who was very concerned with what was going on in the society around her, and I think we can see this from one of her books, which is a clear allegory of life in the Czech Republic, or Czechoslovakia then, before 1989. It describes a life of pure absurdity where the bellies and the corpses rule. And this is her book, Magoria, or A Tale of Great Love. And I'll just read a very short extract from the satire so you can get a flavour of the humour and the experimental nature of her writing. And this is the father of the family fantasising about her rebellion. You stiflers and defilers of values, who gave you the right to elevate your obtuse cretinism to a general yardstick and consign to oblivion whatever exceeds by as little as an inch the common or garden bound? The potbellies nod and exhalate mist. Who gave, I ask you, you self-appointed inquisitors, who gave you the right to represent your own shallow interests as the interests of the people of this land? The potbellies nod and exhalate mist. The potbelly with the curly tuft takes notes. No one, eunuchs, so hearken unto me as I call aloud. Be stripped of your privileges, fat savings accounts, and fetid benches in the Senate, the which you've acquired by guile. Be stripped of your special physicians and armed guards, and obliged to earn a living by that work in whose name for years you've rewarded your own purses. He is speaking beautifully. He had no idea he could speak so beautifully. Away with you, you parasites of the living, you body snatchers, away with your tutelage. Dad sat down with a thumping heart. The potbellies nod and exhalate mist. Dad smiles, carried away by the sound of his own voice. Just to let you know, Mum, I told them right and proper. And he began to listen to the coughing and scraping of chairs. Now a forest of hands will shoot up and the consuls will be tossed out the window, inevitable in the end. Somebody had to start the ball rolling. Many people who talk about Sasha Berkova talk about her great heart and her compassion.
That's exactly my feeling that I got from Sasha from the absolutely first moment. And it's this golden-hearted woman who comes up to you and there's no barriers. And you feel that you have someone who is interested in you, somebody who really wants to know who you are and that the conversation that you're having is absolutely precious.
I think this ties in with what one friend of hers, Libuše Ludvíková, who works at the Pen Club here in Prague, and Alexandra was instrumental in setting up Czech Pen Club after 1989. And I asked her about Alexandra and what she would say about her. And the first thing she said was that she was the most wonderful of teachers who absolutely devoted herself to her students.
Yes, she taught at a literary academy. And I heard it personally from several of her students, what an incredible teacher she was. And I imagine it must have been like going to a psychoanalysis class or to a classes of loving and being taken seriously by someone who is an already respected writer.
I'd like now to move to a discussion briefly of her last major work, Temná láska, Dark Love, many considered one of the most significant, interesting, important works of the last decade, but it was also quite controversial. Many people found it a very dark work.
She herself had this funny comment, like, have I not really gone too far here? And originally she wanted to name it The Old Woman and the Sea, which speaks for itself. But it is not that dark. I mean, there's a similar humor to Kafka. She's using all these clues. Of course, mainly this is psychoanalysis and her take on it, but it's so hilariously mixed with Harlequin's that it really makes a unique reading that is dark, but at the same time funny in an eerie way.
When you say Harlequins, I think for British listeners, they would understand this better as Mills and Boone. So she actually uses the popular romantic fiction to underpin the more serious things that she's saying. And the book, in fact, is structured around conversations between a middle-aged woman and her psychotherapist.
Yes, the main heroine, Karolina, has this kind of life crisis when she walks naked on one of the main streets of Prague, going to buy groceries in a bistro. And she is retelling this moment to an older woman psychoanalyst.
The book is structured in three parts, the beginning of this description of a love affair and then the darker aspects of the relationship. And I'd just like to read a brief extract from the second part. When he's not attending to his toys, he walks round me in large circles, at a distance so that I'm not able to touch him. He examines me with concentration. He doesn't mind that I'm dirty. He likes dirt. He's dirty too, and he stinks. He doesn't talk to me. He doesn't talk with me. Not even in moments of contentment when he's scrawling on my body with his crayons, when he's driving his tanks over me and leading his battles. Not even when he's sniffing at me. Not even then does he answer my questions. He is silent. If I speak, he freezes as if turned to stone. Looking away, he waits for me to fall silent. Then he spits on his drawing and angrily rubs at it with his elbow. then he simply continues where he left off. In her conversations with her analyst, the analyst tells her, you could always have escaped. Do you feel to an extent that Alexandra Birkova was this incredible personality who was somehow trapped within all of these political forces?
Of course, Karolina, the main heroine, is trapped in the same way as, let's say, the greatest woman writer of Czech literature in the 19th century, Božena Němcová, was a victim of the situation that she lived in.
That's a very interesting comparison with Božena Němcová, who was also an incredible, open, active political woman and writer. And many people have felt the loss of such a personality very much since her death in June. What do you think her legacy will be?
I believe that many, many numerous students that she's brought up will be first kind of bathed in this glorious love that she kind of radiated through her personality. That might be the strongest thing. But also from her influence as a writer, from the literary legacy, that would be some kind of feeling of necessity to reinterpret, I don't know, if fairy tales of harlequins or how to call the myths that we live in, and sort of being prepared that these myths are just myths and that they have to deal with reality, which is dark love.
I'm very glad to have had the opportunity to say something about a very complicated, very important, very interesting writer. And fortunately, it's possible to read Alexandra Birkova's work in some English language anthologies, at least extracts, and there'll be information about these on the website. And I'd like to thank you very much, Pavla, for sharing your personal memories and also your ideas about the literature. Thank you, Pavla.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.